Let us pray for the Lord's blessing on the reading and preaching of His word. Heavenly Father, be pleased to join our hearts with the saints that are in heaven and with the angels and with all creation in singing praise to You, our God, and singing praise to You for the great salvation that You have provided for us in our Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. If you would turn with me in your Bibles to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. And we'll begin reading at verse 1 and continue reading through verse 20 of Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2 at verse 1, hear now the word of our God. And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. The census first took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling cloths, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. And the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." So it was when the angels had gone away from them into heaven that the shepherds said to one another, "Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told them. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. Brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ, as we celebrate the birth of our Savior and remember the love of God that is given to us in the sending of Jesus, I want us to just reflect upon three things. As you well know, if I was to preach on 20 verses, we'd be here a while. So we're just going to focus on three things. First, upon the simple message of the angel. Second, upon the song of the angels. And third, upon the response of the shepherds. The angels appear to these specific shepherds in the fields nearby who were watching their flocks by night. And We read, "Behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, with the glory of the Lord shining around the shepherds as the reflected glory of God from the angels shone upon them." And the message of the angel is simple, and yet the most exciting message that these shepherds could ever hear. It is the most exciting message we could ever hear. In verse 10, when we read that the angel says, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be for all people," the angel is not exaggerating. Because what the angel is about to say next is the greatest news that anyone could ever hear. That for there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. The one that all of Israel, all the people of God since Adam and Eve, had waited for with eager expectation, had finally come. The one who would reconcile us to God. The one who would save us from our sin. The one who would pour out all divine blessing and grace upon us had come. And notice that God sent the solution to all of our problems in a person. As Paul Tripp writes, God's response, His response to our problems of sin and death and hell, God's response wasn't a thing. It wasn't the establishment of an institution. It wasn't a process of intervention. It wasn't some new divine program. In His infinite wisdom, God knew that the only thing that could rescue us from ourselves and repair the horrendous damage that sin had done to the world was not a thing at all. It was a person. His Son, our Lord Jesus. And the announcement of the angel that this person, Christ Jesus, has come is, of course, going to be the greatest of announcements. And so it's only fitting that after this announcement is given, that these shepherds then witness a choir of angels burst into song. And notice what they say. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Glory to God in the highest. That phrase communicates two things that we must learn to say with every waking thought. For if we long to dwell in heaven, let us learn from the angels the language and song of that place. First, that we give glory to God who is highest in glory, up far above the glory of anything or anyone else. And second, that we give only the highest glory to Him. He is of the highest glory, and the only glory we render to Him is of the highest quality. And we must sing this with the angels, with all that we are, because as they sing, on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. They are singing this truth about us. The angels aren't singing that praise for themselves. They are singing it for us. They're simply singing as they see the glory of God working to save a people for Himself. Brothers and sisters, we should be filled with as much, if not more, praise to God because we are the people that they're speaking about. We are the ones who actually receive the peace with God. We are the ones upon whom the favor of God rests. The angels are just outward observers of God's plan of salvation and of the might of His grace. We are the actual recipients of it. Would we not join them? Would we not join them? In singing of the greatness of our God and of the glorious salvation He has provided for you and for me. Brothers and sisters, we don't have a choir of angels that shows up at night and starts singing this song to us. That would have been quite a sight. And we aren't like James and Peter and John who saw the Lord Jesus transfigured on the mount before them. To see His glory unveiled. We have not seen it with these eyes yet. But brothers and sisters, the Apostle Peter tells us that we have something far better. And you say, what? What could be better? We have something better than what the shepherds had. Yes, they saw a glorious sight. What does the Apostle Peter say is better? We have the New Testament revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ. The shepherds had a glorious angelic announcement that the Savior had been born, and of course that was reason to celebrate and rejoice. But we know exactly how our Lord Jesus Christ saved us. And we know that it's already done. The blood that needed to be shed for the complete remission of all of our sins has already been shed. Satan has already had his head crushed. Sin is already washed away and removed from us. Death is overcome. So much so that we have no fear of it, but only hope in knowing where we will go. And that one day, Our bodies will be raised again just as Jesus was. So certain is our hope and our salvation that the Apostle Paul talks about us already now being seated in the heavenly places. Past tense, as if we're already there. And spiritually, that's certainly true. But think about the surety that Paul is speaking about in Ephesians 2. We've been saved. The Savior has come and He has done it all. What else could we say than glory to God in the highest? For our God is of the highest glory and worthy of only the highest glory. For in Jesus coming, living, dying, rising again, and ascending into heaven, we see all the glorious attributes of our God and His perfection. We see in Christ and in the revelation that He brings, we see the covenantal love of our God. We see His compassion upon sinners. We see His rich graciousness. We see His tender mercy. We see His overwhelming goodness. We see His perfect justice. We see His precious joy over us. And as we see these attributes, among all the others, we see that our God is holy, holy, holy. That all glory in heaven on earth belongs to Him and Him alone. And so as we read these words of the angel's song, is it your heart's desire to glorify God in the highest? When you hear the words, on earth, peace, goodwill towards men, does your heart leap for joy and immediately seek to glorify God with all that you are for all of your life? And I know some of you are a bit of a Debbie Downer. Don't know why Debbie gets such a bad rap, but anyways. And you say, well, I'm not perfect, so I'm just going to mess up in the next 5 minutes. I know that. You know that. And also the Lord knows that. And that's why He sent Christ to come. To save you. But I ask you, right now, is your heart unreservedly desiring to worship God? Do you want to glorify Him with all that you are, or is there something holding you back? Is there a greater desire of your heart than to glorify the God of heaven and earth? Does your heart leap for joy and immediately seek to glorify God with all that you are for all of your life when you hear those words? And on earth peace and goodwill towards men. If not, why not? Is there something you would rather give highest glory to? Is there something else in your heart that you have reserved a special place for other than God? Is there someone else that you're looking for greater joy in? And I want you to go down the list in your head of all the things and all the people in this world. And I want you to then think about what true and lasting joy, what eternal hope could any of those things or people give you? What else is there? What other news compares to the gospel? What other solution to your problems and to the world's is there? Who could possibly give you more reason for joy and hope than Jesus? And as we reflect upon this, I want us then to reflect upon the response of the shepherds. Verse 15, so it was when the angels had gone away from them into heaven that the shepherds said to one another, let us go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us. And one last thing to note in verse 16, and they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. They didn't just mosey over there. They, as fast as they could, went to Bethlehem searching for the sign that the angels gave them. Now, there is something that we can so easily rush over in this because we're not first century shepherds. But they didn't have fences. They couldn't just keep their sheep all locked up nice and tidy. They had sort of rock wall pens, yes, but even who was the door to the pen? The shepherd was. Could a wild animal easily jump over that stone wall? You betcha. Could a sheep do it? Probably. They left everything they had. They left their entire livelihood behind. And in jeopardy from an earthly perspective, in order to see Jesus. Should we not leave all behind in order to see and serve and worship our Lord? Our God is a jealous God. He doesn't just want part of us. And He doesn't want just half a heart. He's jealous for all of us. Why? Because He loves all of you. And He wants to save all of you. Not just part. And as we think about our Lord Jesus and the way in which He searched us out to save us, He left heaven above to come get us. Can't even imagine that. Can't imagine the one who is infinite willing to become finite. Can't imagine the one who dwelled in inapproachable light with the Father and the Holy Spirit forever and ever in ages past was willing to come and be born in a cattle shed. We can't imagine that the one who is life itself was willing to die. To save us from us. Because He loves all of you. And came to redeem you entirely. So, brothers and sisters, do you want to give your whole life over to Christ? Do you want to love Him in kind as He has loved you? Is He your everything? Is He the joy of your life? Is He the good news that you live by every day? Even when we get bad news, as we heard this morning, the slaughter of babies, even when we get bad news, don't we see the triumph of grace? Don't we see that even the bad news of this world is overcome by the good news of Jesus Christ? Don't we see that even in the most painful of human experiences, death, we see the surety and the beauty of God's promises? Don't we see that God turned a curse into a blessing? God turned what was to be a divine curse set upon us into simply a Jordan River crossing from the wilderness of this life into the promised land. That is the greatness of our God. And thus it only makes sense that we would join with the angels and sing, "Glory to God in the highest." When we think about glory, what are we talking about? We're talking about a person's character, and we're talking about a person's deeds. And when we think about our God, truly, the glory of His character and of His deeds toward us are of the highest quality. And more magnificent than we could possibly grasp with our feeble brains. Brothers and sisters, there is not a day that goes by that we should not remember and rejoice that Christ has come. And may the words of the angels be always with haste brought to our minds with readiness and eagerness to sing with our own mouths. For no greater gift could be given, no greater Savior could be sent, no greater message could be spoken. What else can we say but glory to God in the highest? Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, please fill our hearts and our minds with awe and with wonder of who you are and what you have done for us. Lord Jesus Christ, we pray that you would show yourself to us. Give us eyes of faith to see you in all of your radiant majesty, our Savior, the one who has given us everything, the one who has given us life itself, the one who has saved us from most certain and eternal death, and brought us into the promised land where we shall only receive all the blessings that our Heavenly Father would bestow upon us, His children. O Lord, help us a little more to grasp this day the might and power of your grace and the beauty of the joy and peace that you give to us, your people. O Lord, as we reflect upon the glorious truths of the gospel, may we bear much fruit. May we be filled with praise, with thanksgiving, with love for you and for others, filled with joy in knowing the good news of our Lord Jesus Christ, and peace, knowing our destiny is secure, and patience, O Lord, knowing that nothing comes to us by chance, but everything comes from your fatherly hand, to lead and guide us in your ways, and bless us according to your purposes. O Lord, bear within our hearts all the fruit of the Spirit, kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control, with all the previous mention, that we would rightly give you praise and glorify your great and awesome name in this day, a day in which we rest in you, and in all the days henceforth. For, O Lord, one day in your courts is better than 1,000 elsewhere. And yet, O Lord, we know that we shall be in your presence, not just this day, but all the days into eternity future. Receive our praise today, O Lord, for the sake of your only begotten Son, our Savior, the one who has come and the one who is coming again. Amen.